Hello again there, folks. So I find myself more and more sort of interested in the morality of that huge chunk, that huge liberal chunk which remains in the middle of Western society and in Britain in particular, and how this group of people, this politically correct middle chunk of the superstructure with the elite at the top. And the proles like me at the bottom, and then in the middle you have the sort of managers and the tinkerers of the system, and as I've mentioned before, they are the most craven, they are the most politically correct, the most fanatical about the sort of globalist dogma and the mores of the age. And it's fascinating to me that no matter how wrong they can be proven to be, they still believe they are morally virtuous. No matter how many people die, no matter how much misery is inflicted on the general population, no matter how stupid and wrong their ideas are, to the point that it's just insulting people. And they'll take great pleasure in seeing people's lives completely destroyed, from seeing people banned from social media and sort of cast out, cast from the public square, and made voiceless and powerless. And they'll gleefully cheer on someone having been completely crushed by the system. They turn a blind eye to the most outrageous attacks and sort of enslavement of children. They don't care when people die. And it's this craven insanity, which, and it fascinates me because I mean, I think I've spent a lot of time looking at the elites and the nature of the elites and what their sort of master plans are. But when you think of it in this sort of this three-tiered structure, that middle chunk is just absolutely just rotten and awful. And I was sent a book a while back. Somebody wanted me to have a look at it, and it's called Nemesis: The Juvenalian Versus the Liberal Model of Human Orders. Now, I read a good bit of this, but the link must have timed out or something before I finished it. Nevertheless, I found it fascinating. And one of the things they got into in the book is that in the past, in European history, you would have the power of the king or the state was to a large degree offset by the power of the church, and the two would be sort of competing power centres. And what that meant is that when the if one of these powers became too overbearing, then the other one would then look for allies within the general population. Now, that might be the aristocracy or it might be the peasants, and that would then reset the balance, and you would ha and of course it did mean that there was perpetual warfare in Europe, but at the same time there was a sort of equilibrium was reached as well. And what we see of course in the West is that the church is gone. But you don't have to think of this in sort of religious terms here. I'm talking purely in terms of power dynamics. At least if you have a competing centre of power, you could then the worst of the atrocities, if any, committed by the state would be kept to a large degree under control by the competing power centre of the church. So I'm not really talking in terms of spiritualism and stuff here, just in terms of power. Or it could be that the church became too fanatical and began to scare people, and in that case the state would set in and the balance would be largely but it would largely play out. It wouldn't be too bad. Of course, this brings us to the modern world, and in the modern world the church is all but powerless, and so that particular power that is gone, that the seesaw has then lost its counterweight, and now it's just all in the on the side of a secular state power. And then beyond that, you've got more and more of these supranational powers, the European Union, and then all of the sort of the IMF, and it just goes up and up and up. But there's no offsetting power center. It's just all in one direction now. So some people would say this has been done on purpose. Okay, that's another video. The point that I want to get to here is that this means then, without any counterbalancing power, everything now resides just in the state. And I think that when we see these lunatics, these liberal left lunatics, and they can then that the state has its own, it justifies its own power. Because it is power, and then it becomes also the moral power as well. So it also becomes right in what it does and in what its diktats are. And so you can see then that power sort of legitimizes itself. And what we see with these sort of this middle chunk, who are the most craven servants of the power, is that for them, whatever these diktats are, whatever the main narrative is, automatically becomes morally justified and good, even when you find that a huge section of the population thinks it's repulsive and finds them to be absolutely crazy. It doesn't matter because they are operating within the moral paradigm of the state. So it's not just this raw power in terms of police and then in terms of propaganda and media control, but then also there is no other moral framework than the state and than the system, and so that becomes the moral paradigm. If they say something is a strength, then this sort of middle class, middle chunk, liberals, then it becomes a strength to them. And if you're on the outside of the paradigm, if you are having a thought, a politically incorrect thought, then you are by definition an evil person to be purged and destroyed. And this, I think, gets to the heart of why these people seem so absolutely craven. And the case of Brexit is an interesting one because in this case, the problem they've got is that let's say the power wants Britain to stay in the European Union, but democracy has decided something else. So the people have then decided something else, and they have to then wire that up. And what they've decided to do is to sort of lie and cheat and sort of rob the people of their vote and just constantly moan, constantly kick it into the long grass. And that then, what you see is that it becomes moral. The point here is that they think they are good while they are doing that. So they live in a democracy, they're trampling all over democracy, but they still think they're morally right and virtuous while they do it. And this is like, why? How can you think that? And it's because the power itself is justifies itself. It carries its own morality within it. It is a more sophisticated form of might makes right. The power they are then gravitating toward, their sense of good and evil emanates from the center of political and cultural power in the West, not from a church, not from any kind of religious life, but from a superficial political construct and media complex. It's become this metaphysical spiritual force in itself for these people. And so if you're on the outside of that, if you're politically incorrect, or if you're opposed to mass immigration, or all of these other diktats, you automatically become an evil person to oppose the central narrative coming from the globalist superstructure. Automatically designates you as morally repulsive. Of course, if you're in my situation and you're looking back in at this, it's completely the other way around. Then these people just seem like craven lunatics, and they are. They'll happily destroy your life for being against it. I've been accused of all kinds of things this week. It's been insane. But it's really just quite interesting to think about how they crave and sort of enslaved they are to this paradigm where the power itself becomes what decides what right and wrong is, because there is no other focus point. There is no other narrative than that. So everything has to be, all what we would think of as being right and wrong, and good and evil, is encompassed within this sort of political, economic, globalist media complex. That's where they gravitate their morality from. And the people who are more on the outside of that look back in and are just completely baffled. And to get back to the book that I mentioned earlier, we can see now again that there needs to be a counterweight to this. Even a nationalist party, for example, will be operating within this, within this complex. And so what we desperately need is a not as a another force of gravity, another power structure, another narrative, which is outside of the main political media complex, which of course the sort of the middle chunk are always on the lookout for, even if they don't quite understand it themselves or what it is they're doing. They're just these sort of killer drones, hunter seeker drones. But you can imagine then what it would be like if there was another competing centre of power again, like there was in earlier times. And it would really, really help us out a lot, to be honest. So I'll see you later, folks, and thanks for listening.